out of Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
And hello, everybody! Welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham, episode 6. We are a proud member of the Batpod Network, hosted by Batman on Film. I am your co-host on the other side of the Hudson River. I am Peter M. Vera. Today, we are recording on June 5th, 2020, and we have an interesting show of topics today. I think that makes sense. I think it does. I don't know. Eric, does that make sense? I'm here. Eric Holzman. Does that part make sense? Did I stumble there?
Does make sense. All right, there we go. Have interesting topics, because obviously we want people to listen. So it does make sense.
The that we have spelling interesting topics. And grammar king of Long Island, Eric Holzman. The human dictionary that is Eric Holzman.
It's true, man. I am a grammar Nazi. I hate to use that term, but that's what I am. I always call people on their grammar via text or in messages or posts. I'm terrible. But Pete, yes, thank you. Again, everyone, welcome to Straight Outta Gotham. Like Pete said, this is our 6th episode already. Man, going fast. And we have some interesting stuff for you tonight. And we also have an interesting guest for you tonight. Now, from my own Twitter page today, I put out a riddle out there.
Hey, diddle diddle.
Yeah, and it just came to me, and I'm like, oh, this would work perfectly. And then I was trying to see how to put the riddle together, and I finally did. So if you guys were paying attention, the two initials I was talking about was J and K. And those two initials belong to someone who everybody who listens to this should know.
A fan favorite.
A fan favorite. He has been on Batman on Film. He has his own Let's Go podcast, two of them, actually. And he is Justin Kowalski. Justin, what's up, sir?
Yo! I was like, man, I hope I got that riddle right. I was like, wait a second. There you go. Am I facetious? Is JK like, y'all, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just glad to be on here because y'all use a West Coast beat like on the opening of every show. I'm just trying to legitimize that beat because y'all East Coast, you guys should have been doing something a little different. But I'm like, okay, it's creative.
And well, it went with the show.
And then Eric's got bars. You put Solomon Grundy in there.
It's actually great. It's great. Grundy's great. The Grundy part's great. And I love that Grundy, I was able to create the Grundy alert.
Yeah. The Grundy line is gold, man.
It's great.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
It really I love is. It.
Well
dude.
Done. It's perfect.
Thank you. It was something I came up with very quickly. didn't take much time to put together, but that line just popped into my head. I have to say, I didn't know where to go with it. And then I was like, oh crap, that works. So then I just put it in there, and I told Pete this before that I think it's kind of cool that he's kind of a not so much a well-known Batman villain, and I have him in our song. So
is he one of your favorite villains? Is he one of your favorite villains? Is Grundy a villain that you really like?
Not particularly, but you know, it worked for the show, the song, and it. So I just put it in there.
Ain't a lot of bat villains that have an undie, you know, that was gonna get that has that you needed that D.
Yeah. Well, I needed something to rhyme with comfy.
Comfy.
So then I was like, I had to put it in there. Find a villain or someone, and I'm like, oh, perfect.
So. Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, I wish you could have threw like Kite Man in there or something. Kite Man would be dope. So
that's the remix. Justin, the remix.
Thanks for having me on though, guys. I'm like, every time I listen, I'm like, man, I hope I get on one of these shows soon.
Yeah. No, we definitely
have you here. No, I know. It's fun.
We want to have you on. So yeah. So how's everything going out there, man?
California, man. California love, you know what I'm saying? It's definitely it's a place, dude. It's you know, everything that's going on in the country is going on here. I imagine it's going on there. I actually went to a little rally yesterday and it was super peaceful. So it was cool. And to be honest, like, I know we're not talking Batman right now, but it was one of the most hopeful times that I've felt in the last ever since everything's been, since 2020 has been, it's been happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
2020 disease we all got. So yeah, it was actually nice being amongst people, and like, it felt like, hey man, we're united in this. And so that felt good. So, but yeah, man.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, you posted a picture. I saw it. And yeah, I mean, with everything going on right now, you know, when we have people getting together for a good cause and you know, peacefully and just wanting to, you know, make a point, it's very good to see. It was very nice to see that. So, because we've also seen we've been getting forced with a lot of the bad side of this, the looting and things like that. So, you know, it's a sad time, and we still have the coronavirus that hasn't gone away.
Oh, for real? That's still around?
Yeah, right. Like, it's just lingering there in the background. You know, I haven't got anywhere. So, yeah, 2020, pretty much since New Year's Eve, when the clock struck 12, 2020 has been horrible.
No lie.
But one of the good things is we started this podcast, Pete. One of the good things to come out of the coronavirus was Pete had time, and we both had time to do the podcast and get it started. So
we've been trying to do this since before the green room.
Yeah. Before
no, that. I still have the first. I don't know if it's still the same track, but I remember you sent it. You're like, hey, here's the Gotham theme. Yeah. So,
and Justin was very critical, but it was okay. He did a version too. I actually should cut it and put it in as the intro.
Oh, no.
The outro.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that.
But Justin was so gracious enough to actually design our Twitter banner and picture, as well as our Instagram profile picture. So thank you.
Well, you are always welcome.
Yes. So we wanted to come on tonight. We have a couple. There's been some news, obviously DC news, revolving a number of different topics. And we just wanted to come on and discuss them. And we want to bring Justin in for his perspective. So we're going to start with that. The very first thing now that has been, it's been going on now for a couple of weeks, pretty much since the Snyder Cut news has come out. And I think we discussed this a little bit on the last podcast. We've had a cry now for other cuts of other films to come out. And probably the most popular one so far has been the David Ayer cut of Suicide Squad. Now, I've been vocal about this in the past. Suicide Squad was one of those movies that when I saw the first trailer, I was like, holy crap, I can't wait to see this. And even though I still like the theatrical cut, I was very disappointed the first time I saw the movie. So in the spirit of the release of Snyder Cut, people started pushing now, okay, we want to see the Ayer cut. David Ayer has also been pushing this cut as well. He's been talking about it more on Twitter. I feel like you can't go a day without him tweeting something about his cut of the film. And again, with the renewed push for this, it's something that very possibly could happen. So, Pete, I will go to you first. What's your stance?
The internet has gone crazy. It's nuts out there. Twitter is so much fun right now because just everyone's just like campaigning for whatever movie they want. And it's just so interesting seeing where everyone's coming from. Me personally, like, we all know I want like the Schumacher cut of Batman Forever, right? So like,
yes,
it's interesting just seeing like how many multiple fandoms. I'm sure there's going to be like a Rogue One demand anyway, even though it's like, you know, everyone wants a different cut. It's like the Lord and Miller cut of like Solo. Like, I wouldn't want to see that. That's interesting. Like, if we're just demanding cuts of movies, like, I'm all for this. I want to see the Josh Trank cut of Fantastic Four. But like, to see the Ayer cut is awesome. And, I love everyone. Like, Reno knows I love Leto's Joker. Like, I don't care what it says. Like, I love it. I think it's so crazy. Like, the tattoos don't bother me. The grill doesn't bother me. He's like this drug lord pimping, like, you know, just Colombian. I don't know. Just like, you know, I don't know. What's his name? Who just got arrested? Like, I don't know. El Guapo. I don't know what the hell you want to call him, but he's like, he's like one of those guys. So it's like, I don't know. That's cool, man. He's walking around with the rings and everything. And he's just, I don't know. Like, I want to see more of that. And if it was way more intense and if there was stuff that was replaced because of reshoots, like, I don't know. Like, I like David Ayer's stuff. Like, I talked about like Areno, and he like argues like, I like Training Day, even though like, you know, it's an Antoine Fuqua movie. Like, David Ayer wrote it, so like, I know this guy can make some gritty gangster shit. You know, bleep that, Eric.
Well, you can't have a show called Straight Outta Gotham and be like, hey, can you bleep that?
It's a kid show. It's a kid show. I don't know. We're Batman and Robin here. But it's like, so yeah, I'd be down to see it if it exists. I'm sure it's weird though because like Ayer's, I. to be honest, out of this whole like release the movie campaign for whatever movie, like I kind of feel worse off for air because it's like because of BVS, they cut up Suicide Squad. So because of Zack Snyder's previous movie, his entire movie got changed, you know, because of someone else's movie, which kind of sucks, you know? It's just weird. Like, why would that affect that? Like, the problem with Warner Brothers is they just need to keep going with it instead of trying to change things. So, like, I'm glad the old regime is gone, but, like, I'm all down for seeing this cut of the movie, you know? Like, I want to.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I definitely do as well. So, Justin, what about you?
Yeah, man. I'm like you, Eric. Like, when I saw Suicide Squad, I liked it, but I was like, ah, man, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I think a lot of that had to do with a lack of Jared Leto's Joker. Like you're all, you know, I felt bad, dude. Cause I remember watching, I think it was Conan O'Brien and they had like the whole cast on, they're at Comic-Con and everyone's hyped. And then like, I don't know if they saw it yet. I don't know if there was like, you know, they all saw the screening yet and they were like, yeah, there's some really cool stuff in there. And I remember going like, where's this cool Joker stuff, you know, from the trailers. I feel like I got more Joker in the purple Lamborghini video than I did in the actual film, you know? And he looked good in that black suit. That was cool. But yeah, man, I'm here for it. You know, here's one thing about Air. I feel like he's been super respectful this entire time. I feel like he's been more vocal, though, especially like the last, what, I don't know, has it been a month, 3 weeks of this whole Snyder Cut thing coming out. I think he's been a little more like, hey, if there's room for some wiggle, dude, let's wiggle. Like, I want to, let's put it out there. And he's said, I actually have it. Mine's assembled. It's ready to go. Pretty much. I'm sure there's money that.
It was already test screened. It was a finished movie. It was audience screened. So like, you know, it was chopped up post.
Yeah.
His movie is completely done.
Yeah. And I know like, you know, just, and this ain't secret stuff, but like my cousin, he, you know, he's a part of that industry. And he was like, yeah, they added a lot of jokes and stuff to that thing when the reshoots were happening. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, like to me, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, dude. I don't know how many jokes were added, how many were already there, you know? I don't know. Like you have characters like Slipknot and like Boomerang. I imagine there's already like some type of level of humor there. And so it'd be really interesting to see, like, I actually love the ideas and that's where I'm like, why not have Parademons be in this film? That sounds awesome. That sounds way better than these like weird, like zombie, like creatures. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't know what a movie studio was thinking. I don't know how that would test better with audiences. I just don't know. But you know, there you go. And that's what it is. I heard there's like four different like assembly cuts of this thing anyways. Like, I think they shopped it around to like the trailer park that cut it to, you know, other spots. And so I'm here for it though. I want to see it. And I'm actually really excited for David Ayer. Cause I'm like, UP, I love what he does. Like Harsh Times, anything that he's been a part of. Fury. I think I'm a huge fan of, dude.
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, Fury.
Fury's great. I finally caught up on Bright. I liked Bright.
Bright was fun, dude. People hated on that, but like it was what it was.
Cool. You know. What did he do? The movie Almost Batman. Jake Gyllenhaal. What's his name?
From End of Watch.
End of Watch.
Yeah, that was good. Dude, that was a heartbreak.
I know the guy can write some good stuff, and I know he didn't have a whole lot of time to write Suicide Squad. Like it's just a known fact. They gave him like 2 months to write the movie. You know, like they threw it at him, but like, you know, he did it, but he had something there. And it's just, you know, I don't know why the fact that they got so jumpy about it's that regime of Warner Brothers just got really jumper about bad reviews. Yeah. And I almost feel like after the first Suicide Squad trailer, what was the song they paired with that trailer? Justin.
The first one was like, I started a joke. That was the Comic-Con one that leaked, though, right?
Yeah, the Comic-Con one. And I feel like it was so heavily compared to like, oh, this is DC's answer to Guardians of the Galaxy. And then when it wasn't, Warner Brothers reacted to be like, well, we've got to make this more like Guardians of the Galaxy. So like, here's a soundtrack and here's these music videos and here's all this. I feel like that was a huge part of it.
I actually like the soundtrack.
I think the soundtrack's fine. There's actually a song that's in there, though, the same that was in Guardians of the Galaxy. That's I remember that like stood out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did include Purple Lamborghini on my all-time Batman's inspired from songs.
You did.
I did. It was good. It was good.
That's true. Appropriately
placed. Appropriately placed.
I definitely want to see the Leto footage. I mean, we've been teased and I've read articles about what they were planning on doing and stuff that they shot.
And there's Boomerang stuff too. Like Jai Courtney is probably the greatest role ever, you know, and it's fantastic. Captain Boomerang is a great character. I would love to see him in a solo Flash movie.
Jai Courtney finally had a character. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, and he's perfect for it. I mean, he killed it. He killed it. He knocked the role out of the park. I'm sorry. He might have been, outside of Robbie, he's probably the best acted character in that entire movie.
Oh, I thought he was
great. Smith. Right? I thought Smith as Deadshot was the
probably Smith was great too.
Oh, dude, cool. Smith is. I love Smith, dude.
Dude, when he's mowing down bubbleheads, it's amazing.
Wait, yeah,
that's great. Bubbles. When he's just mowing those things down, it's amazing.
When he stands on the car, that's he just starts shooting them. Mm.
Oh. Yeah, it was fantastic.
That was great. That was a great scene.
There's so much good stuff about Suicide Squad theatrical cut that I really enjoy. And then the Suicide Squad extended cut I like even more because it gave me more of that Leto stuff. Leto in the purple Lamborghini with her. Leto at the factory was longer. There was no longer stuff. He popped out of a car in one scene. He was just in it. I think he looks cool. Dude, I dropped so much money on this Leto merch, and I'm not even upset about it. There we go. I bought a statue. I bought 3 Mafex figures. I configured them all out.
Yeah, like do you got that one where he's in the Batman suit?
No. I got the one where he's got the white tuxedo. He's got the purple coat, and one of them came and he's got the white coat because it came with a straight jacket. And I got him paired downstairs in my living room with a Harley Quinn. So like I like the Leto Joker. Like I'm in for
it. Man, Pete's a classy guy, dude. He's got all that.
I do.
I'm with you, dude. I like the look. The only thing, if I had to say, just get the damage tattoo out. That's the one that I think that was
overdoing it. That's the only one I don't like, but I never noticed it, to be brutally honest. He's never really at extreme close up for me to be like, oh, there it is. And if it is, it's not that long of a shot.
Yeah, the tear and the little J, that's cool. That tattoo is pretty cool.
I like a lot of your tattoos. I do. Where it's just Joker smiling on his abs, like that's badass. Let's take it Thug Life and take it to a new level because we're the Joker. Like, that's crazy.
And then the one on the hand to do the smile.
Yeah.
That was cool too. And yeah, there's a ton of stuff in there that I love.
Yeah. And he's a bleached out Joker. He's not like a painted Joker. He's like a.
It's more Nolan than Nolan did. Think about it.
You think so?
Because it's like he's actually like bleached skin. Like it's almost, I don't know, is albino the proper term? I don't know. Like his skin is just naturally white. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. He's just pale.
And that's the Joker. Like I prefer like a, how did his skin get all weird like that? Like that's the type of Joker. Cause that to me is like, way more creepier.
Ledger Joker for what it is too.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely works Joker, in that world.
The perma white Joker from back in the old BOF days. Remember that was the big argument.
The perma white.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, but like
that's what Leto is. Leto is a perma white Joker.
Yeah.
You know, somehow. Anywho,
like the Joker from like whatever the hell that show on Fox tried to do. I was like, no, negative, not doing that.
Jeremiah?
No, it shall not be spoken of.
Jerome?
That show on Fox?
Yeah, that's like Voldemort for Pete.
I'm like,
Jerome, we can't make his hair green, so we'll make his hair orange.
The show that shall not be named.
That's yeah, what those we don't speak of. You know, M. Night Shyamalan.
I love that Joker. I want to see more of it, dude. I hope more of it comes back. Yes, I know he ain't going to be in the new Suicide Squad because he's not. And then I know James Gunn and Leto are not friends. So,
yep. That's true. That is a very good point, which kind of sucks. But
yeah,
he didn't seem like, after what they did to him, it didn't seem like he wanted to come back anyway. He kind of was kind of like in the Affleck area where he's just like, yeah, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore.
He's been Affleck. Which sucks. That's the thing. Joker, man. That was like, dude, you're going to see another Joker in this movie. And they cut. Right. Like, what were they thinking on that one, dude?
It's weird that we never really got a Batman Joker confrontation between the two of these guys. Like, to be brutally honest, like it's kind of strange.
I mean, he was on top of his car.
That's the closest we got. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the closest scene we got to a Batman Joker DCU confrontation.
Right. So I mean, I definitely hope that this happens. This is one of the ones I've been wanting to see this cut for a while.
Yeah.
So I definitely hope this one happens. This is one I 100%
haven't seen. You know,
there's
a film. I'm trying to think of other people.
And Slipknot, sure, like 5 seconds in the actual theatrical cut. I wonder if they have more of him in Eric's cut.
Eric's going, I want some more Slipknot.
I'm just saying, I would like, he was great. You see pictures of the promo photos have him in it. He's sitting there. He's in the, and then he's in the movie, and it's like, okay, he's dead.
Well, I think that, but I think that was intentional. They had to be like, oh, yeah, they ain't gonna kill anybody.
They've got to. If you look at the last two DC animated original movies, Suicide Squad, they kill off people left to right, and the only characters usually ever make it out are Deadshot, Harley, and Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, Those I think this next Suicide Squad. I think there's going to be, I think half the cast is dead, dude.
Dude, he's going to kill so many people.
Yeah. I think the next, I'm excited for that. So
it's going to be like Orville Redenbacher. Redenbacher out there. Heads are going to be bopping.
Hey, kid, you know who Orville Redenbacher is? Pete says,
what are you talking about?
Just pop, 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 pop.
Heads are popping, dude.
Oh my God.
Dude, the Suicide Squad is like my most anticipated DC movie right now.
I mean, not me, dude. I mean, I'm pumped for the Batman, but like, you know me, I'm a psycho. So it's like, but yeah, like Suicide Squad, I'm pumped for it. Any DC movie I'm like hyped for. Like,
No, I am. But like the Suicide Squad, I'm like, okay.
You know, I want to see what this
is. I'm so curious, dude. I'm so curious.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get pumped for all of them. But. Definitely. I mean, yeah, sure. The next one, which ends up Wonder Woman. Like, when the hell is that thing coming out?
Yeah, that's a good segue.
That is a perfect segue.
I'm saying, like, I watched Wonder Woman without knowing that Wonder Woman was coming out today. It was just luck, and I was like, oh wow, it was destiny.
Yes, crazy. So, it was supposed to be released today. As of now, the August date still stands. So. And if you listen to, or if you saw the report that there's hope, they're saying by the middle of July, 90% of the movie theaters will be reopening, and they're planning on releasing the films that are scheduled now from that point on. So this question is going to be twofold. I mean, yes, obviously today was Wonder Woman, supposed to be Wonder Woman 84. We didn't get it. So has this extra time period... First question is, has this extra time period made you anticipate it more, anticipate it less? And the second question is, will you go to see it in the movie theater? So, Justin, I'll start with you.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm going to answer that first. Yeah, I'm going to the theater, dude. I can't wait. I mean, I've been going to Home Depot. I've gone to Target. I went to freaking... candlelight vigil protest yesterday. I've been around people, dude, and I'm ready to go sit down in a theater and watch a movie at the same time. So I'll put my mask on if I have to, but I'm going opening night, day, whatever day Wonder Woman comes out. I'm going to be there with some popcorn and cherry Coke, maybe some red vines. It's going to be a good time. I cannot wait to see her fight the cheetah in 1984. It has built up. I'm like, man, I'm hankering to watch some new film too. I'm like, man, right. You know, I don't want to do any of these video on demand things. I did Invisible Man. That's fine. But Wonder Woman, I want to see whipping the lasso across a giant screen, dude. I want to see it. I got to see it with other people. I want people to cheer. Dude, the theater experience is so important to movies like this. So I can't wait for that. But, has it made me more like, anticipating it more? Yeah, man. And then part of me's thinking, you know, that original date of November, I know they didn't want to compete with Star Wars and things like that, but man, I wonder if Patty Jenkins like, oh shoot.
Well, I don't think she anticipated a global pandemic.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like right now, we all could have been watching Wonder Woman, like a double feature today. We could have been like, I think I'm gonna watch both Wonder Womans today. But that yeah, is a man, good point. we could have already had it, owned it. So but yeah, I'm excited. You know, I'm starting to see merch. There's chips. You can buy some chips with Wonder Woman on them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
So yeah, man, I'm excited. I don't know if I can get more excited. I'm just like, let's just give it to me. Don't push it away anymore. But obviously, let's keep it safe. Keep it safe for the kids.
Right. I mean, obviously, when we go back to the theater this time, I'm sure there's going to be social distancing measures. I'm sure there'll be like half capacity theaters. You'll have to wear a mask. I'm sure I'll have all of those things as part of the theater going experience. Yeah. I'm wondering how they're going to do concessions. That's one thing I'm kind of curious, like, okay, how are they going to get around this?
Yeah.
But I'm sure.
It's in a box, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure they've been thinking about it, obviously, since they shut down. Like, okay, when we reopen, what are we going to do?
Yeah. So, but also, you know what? Sorry. Like, if you're going to do, there's not a lot of films coming out right now. It's like Tenet and like Wonder Woman. And I don't know what else is coming out. Right.
Yeah.
Like there's not a whole bunch. So I feel like the box office may not be affected so much in the sense that maybe they just have, hey, all 12 screens, Wonder Woman. It's half capacity, but go see Wonder Woman, you know?
That's not a bad idea.
I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to do that, you know, you'll have the one theater, like you said, with all the theaters showing Wonder Woman at different times. And I think that's what it was like years ago, like years and years ago, when in the old days where they just released one movie at a time.
Yeah.
So we're going to, I'm sure we're going to have. Yes. Like way, way back in the beginning of.
Well, how old are we talking? You're the old man of the group. Like
what are the old days? Like, Justin is not that much far away from me. Thank you.
Yeah.
but no, I'm not. I mean,
where's my back pills?
I mean, I'm 43. I'm not 93.
I used to bring my own popcorn. Burn it
and the talking picture. Huh? Let's go up the street. And
yes, but that voice is the time I'm talking about. Yes. Those films from those times. They weren't released in mass. You didn't have multiple films coming out on the same date.
Yeah.
It was more, you know, singular releases and people would just watch the one film. There weren't multiplexes. We didn't have theaters with tons of theaters in it. So I think that they're going to do that this time. And just because of the half capacity and all those things, they're going to have to show it in that way. So I do think that all of this stuff is going to be part of our new movie going experience, at least for until we have a vaccine, and then maybe even a little bit afterwards until people get more comfortable. So that's what we're looking forward to theater wise. But Pete, what about you? Are you anticipating Wonder Woman more, and will you go see it in the theater?
I'm going to be there opening weekend or whatever to see it. I will. I like your Cherry Coke idea. I usually get Sprite. I'm a big Sprite guy, but Cherry Coke sounds good. I might do Cherry Coke and Wonder Woman just for Justin. But yeah. I'll be there. I'll be there to see it. I'll probably be my girlfriend. I'll probably see it more than once. I'll probably see my brother. I'll probably see some friends. So I'll probably see it a few times, actually. I don't want to get more excited. I mean, I'm just pumped. There's so many things I'm anticipating. Like, I'm really, like, got my fingers crossed. There's some added candy in this movie. I don't think there's going to be, but I'm really hoping. I'm interested to see what happens with Steve Trevor. I want to see how much of the movie this gold suit is in, or is it just there to sell a toy? I've been seeing Halloween costumes of the cheetah, and I'm wondering, like, oh, I was like, these costumes actually don't look pretty bad. Like, I know, like, with all the professional makeup and stuff they do just to make it look like sellable. But I was like, if she looks good like this, I was like, I can't wait to see what Kristen Wiig looks like. So I'm like anticipating that. And I can't wait to see what happens with Maxwell Lord. Like, you know, that's huge. Like Wonder Woman and Maxwell Lord, that like, that's a big moment, you mm-hmm. know, and that's, it's interesting to see if they're going to do that. And it's just, I'm like, you know, like, whoa, I'm ready to go here. Like,
what do you mean do that?
What do you mean?
Like you're saying with Maxwell, you're inferring there's a thing between Wonder Woman. I know what the thing is. I'm just wondering.
Definitely, as someone who reads comic books, yeah. I know there's a thing. Like I know there's, you know, there's source material, and there's, you know, that's not like spoiler alert. It's out there. Like you read it. You know, definitely you should read. Oh, what's the name of that story, Justin? It's is
Infinite Crisis. Yeah,
I love it. Like Infinite Crisis is what brought me back to comics and made me love it so much. So please read that story. If you like multiverses and just characters and just DC comics in general,
I love multiverses.
I mean, then Infinite Crisis is great. You know, I mean, sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths from the 80s, Eric, that's an old time book. You know about that. And it's just, so like, this is like the 2000s.
It was the only book that came out that year.
It was the greatest book of all time. in the old days of comics, but like, yeah. Like,
see? Your chance. You can talk about the old days now.
The old days of comic books.
That was one paper. Book that came out, and it was
smelled so fine. The old paper with the old colors, but there's read Infinite Crisis. It's great. You'll love it. I mean, it's a DC fan's dream. So,
I don't think they're going to do that scene. If everyone flipped out because of Man of Steel, they're not going to do the scene.
They flipped out because everyone's like Superman wouldn't do that, but Wonder Woman's a warrior, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
And we all know she cuts off Steppenwolf's head, so it's
like well, she don't got a sword no more, dude. They took her sword away.
I don't know. I have no idea. We'll see. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they're analyzing this way too much.
As long as that song's in there.
Oh my god, it's so great.
Well, that,
so great.
That's a theme. So that's.
I love that song, dude. I love it.
Shout out to BBS who gave us that song. Booyah!
Yep, this is very true. Junkie XL, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Gave us that song. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm definitely going to go see it. I've had discussions with other people, other friends of ours, actually, who I know more aren't going to go to the movies. They don't feel comfortable until we have a vaccine or until the virus is under control in their part of the country.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, here in New York, we've actually been on the decline for over a month now, and things are looking better, so I'm much more inclined to go. If we were still on the upswing, I'd probably be like, nah, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that. but then I don't think it'd be opening. So
that's true.
I hate to say the elite have this elite thought about New York, but the New York market is huge. So if New York wasn't ready for the film to open, I don't think it would. So, but my anticipation for this film has gotten more and more from the time I saw we got that first little teaser. I wasn't feeling it at first, and the more and more I saw, the more and more intrigued I got. And
what didn't you like?
It looked a little campy to me.
Really? What?
Yeah. That's my, that was my read on it. It looked a little campy. I know it's the 80s, and the 80s for us who lived through it. Sorry, Pete. We're very campy.
You're born in 86, yo.
Yeah, you were. That means you lived there for 4 years. I'm sure you don't remember much.
I'm made in the 80s.
But
what are you guys are talking about 89 the other day?
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know you name dropped me as well. I was like, dude, 89 was dope, dude.
I missed 89. I got 95 in 2008. Yeah. I missed 89.
It's never been 95. Close, man. It's never
not
been
even 2008. Close. Not even 2008. Nope.
2008 was rad, but it wasn't close.
Really?
I
knew 95 wasn't close, but 95 was a good time. 95 was a real good time.
Yeah. Not as good as 89, dude. Sorry.
But we digress.
Yeah, me and Eric are going to talk about that later without you, though. We're going to be
Old Men After Podcast, presented by the Let's Go Network.
The real OGs. The real OGs will break that down. But yeah, so... bring it on. Like I said, I definitely will be there as long as everything is okay. And as long as there are social distancing measures, I don't want to, I obviously don't want to get this virus and I don't want to be responsible for someone else getting it. So I will be there and I will, like you said, I'll probably see it multiple times and if I like it, definitely see it multiple times. And, I'm really now to the point, I just want to see movies again. Like I miss the movie theater so much. So
you too.
Yeah, so I just really want to see films again. So we will be getting one, apparently, obviously, because Tenet definitely is happening. So
yeah, Nolan's like, this is incredible.
Trustin doesn't like Nolan anymore, but Nolan's
I like half of his films.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't like Dunkirk. We talked about this last time. I wasn't a fan of Dunkirk.
Please, stop. Dunkirk is just... perfection.
I understand why people like our friend Tom McClellan likes it, but don't
watch Dunkirk if you're driving, man. Like, it's dangerous.
Don't watch anything when you're driving. Don't listen to Justin.
Yeah.
Coffee from his mug while he drives. It's extra dangerous. It's a California thing, it tells me. I don't know.
We don't know.
Other coast problems.
Yeah. So, let's get to that. Like, let's get there now. I'm just want to fast forward to that, to the both those movies. I want to, obviously, everyone's like, oh, you're rushing the summer. Well, we really can't do much else. So.
Yeah, there's nothing else happening.
Today, after rewatching Wonder Woman, I'm just like, wow, this movie is incredible. Like, her origin and Themyscira is so inspired by the George Perez run that it's just so stunning to see the greenery and the island and the pillars and the statues and how they fight and everything. And it's some very good CGI too. Most of these comic book movies have horrible CGI and it's actually pretty good in this one, I think. And it's just, I really dig Wonder Woman. It's almost 2.5 hours, but it doesn't lag.
It moves so well. It moves great.
It doesn't feel like 2.5 hours. It's kind of like Begins where it just kind of like, you're like, wow, that doesn't feel like a 2.5 hour movie. It just doesn't. You're like, wow, it's so good. Even when Wonder Woman, I'll say this, Baby Diana didn't get enough credit because of Baby Groot. Like, Baby Groot stole all the show that summer. She's absolutely adorable, and yet we're sitting here worshiping this dancing fake tree. I was like, this cute little girl's running around, and she's jumping, and then Paul catches her. I was like, this is so cute. I'm trying. It's so cute. And it's like, it's the stupid tree thing. So,
that's a good call. I like both of them, but that is a good call. She was very adorable, that little girl who played Baby Diana.
Nah, very adorable. I pick Baby Groot over her, dude.
Well, Groot, Baby Diana at least spoke in sentences. Groot just kept saying, "I am Groot," and it's a little adorable.
Part of that movie where he's dancing, it's fantastic. Like, I love it.
Groot, yeah, she should have danced. She should have been dancing. She ain't dancing. I ain't gonna make a little keychain out of you.
And she's watching all the. It's amazing. I really do love that movie. And a lot of it is because of the frenzy of George Perez were in the 80s, and it's really fantastic.
And well, that one scene where she's mimicking Antiope, and she's mimicking her, the little girl version of Diana, the baby. That's amazing. So adorable.
And when the Amazons are training, it's just fantastic. It really is. And yeah. I'll say this also, the Amazon scenes in Justice League theatrical cut are probably some of the best scenes in that movie. So the Amazons that we've gotten live action that year were fantastic. I can't wait to see them again. That's another thing. Like, Themyscira is going to go great.
That's a good point. And fun fact for everyone listening, Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman movie, is the first time that B, Justin, and Pete met each other.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's 3 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yep, at the watch party.
The first time.
I always see, I saw the picture yesterday of Bog. Dang it, I should have sent that to you. Because we're all around Texas and they have these like B's and G's and you sit in the middle of it and you're all, oh, it's big. That's funny. That was a good time, dude.
Well, we had a good time there. We did. So moving along, there is something else that has been going on for a while. This kind of ties into the David Ayer story, so we probably should have followed up with that in that area, but it's okay. You know, it's all right. So there's been this, obviously we know that when Ayer was, I don't want to say he was removed because he wasn't, but when they decided to go in another direction with his film, Geoff Johns was pretty much the guy who rewrote all the material and put it together. And there has been, along with Joss Whedon and Justice League, and then now we have Geoff Johns, and there has been this backlash, this fan backlash to both of them. And it's been kind of, you know, they're blaming both of them for the movies that we got, basically. Yeah. And from my perspective, from my point of view, they were hired to do a job to fix something, and that's what they did. Like, they did what they were asked to do. So I don't understand, and I never have understood the backlash to them. Your ire should be directed at the studio who made these moves. It wasn't the two directors, or Johns isn't even really a director. It wasn't those two people. It was the studio. So I'm discussing this now because I saw something about it again today. And I just, every time I see that, I always have the same answer. And I feel I'm constantly repeating myself. Am I the crazy one, guys? Is this, you know, should people be allowed to be upset, or is there any reason for them to be upset at these two? What do you guys think?
I don't think they have a real reason to be upset. So they've picked a reason to be upset. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is their reason. Okay, well, who do I direct? How do I be angry at a studio? You know, it's, I hate the word WB, you know? And so, because they can't, how do you gauge that? So I feel like they have chosen these two guys, Joss Whedon and Geoff Johns. And I'll say this, Joss Whedon, I'm hot and cold, you know? I've said this is not my popular opinion, in whatever, it's okay, hit me up on Twitter, I'd love to talk. I think any director was gonna like knock Avengers out of the park because it had so much momentum going with it. I feel like any competent director could have done that movie, who could do large scale, and would have done well
over there.
I mean, that may not be a popular opinion, but you know, because Avengers 2 really showed me like what Whedon's capable of, and I don't think he has the, and I know he had some, a little bit of interference on there, but I'm like, come on, man. I don't know. I'm not saying Whedon is to blame, but I am saying like, I think WB was hoping they were going to get some Avengers gold and it was gold plated. And so that's what happened. Geoff Johns loves DC.
Yes.
I mean, the last, you know, 20 something years, that cat has produced some of the best stuff they've put out. I will say some of his TV stuff, I'm puzzled. I'm like, he came out with Hope and Optimism, but like Titans is not the Hope and Optimism show, dude. That's the F Batman show, you know? A little weird. But I think, you know, I've had actually two experiences with Geoff Johns. And I think he is a great guy. And I will never say a bad word about him. When I was like an 18-year-old, 17-year-old kid, and I know he just got in the comics, and he wrote a comic with some JSA like tie-in annual one shot or something. And I wrote on the AOL DC message boards and I said, man, this story didn't feel like a Geoff Johns story. He contacted me and he sent me autographed comics of Flash. I believe it was a Hawkman or a JSA. and something else. And he autographed and sent it to me. And he said, hey, man, you're right. Like, I wasn't in a good spot when I was writing this, and my heart wasn't in it. And he, like, it was something like of that extent. I can't look it up because it was an old message board thing. But he sent me some autographed books, dude. And I thought that was genuine. And then the second time was I saw him at the Green Lantern movie premiere. And him and Dan DiDio and Jim Lee were walking around. They saw me and my friend because we had a Green Lantern shirt on and like a suit coat. And he was like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? You like the movie? And we were like, eh. And it was like after thing, because, you know, they let us go to an after party and whatever. And he was going to have us come with them. And then the security guy said he couldn't. And he was kind of gave you the shrug of like, man, I'm sorry. He remembered it at Comic-Con because I kind of gave him like a funny little like mention about it. He's like, dude, I totally remember that. I'm so sorry, guys. He's all, and I'm sorry for more than just not being able to get you into the party. So I think he was kind of apologizing for, hey, that movie did not go how we thought. Anyways, sorry, long bunch of information, but I feel like Geoff Johns is a genuine dude. He's a good dude, and I think he loves DC. And if you're hating on Geoff Johns, y'all can jump.
Well, I agree with you on that. I agree on that. Like, I love Geoff Johns. The Sinestro Corps War is one of my favorite stories. I have Absolute Edition. It's beautiful. It's great.
Oh, like, man.
It's a worthy comic. But, you know, here's the thing. There's no way that Warner Brothers thought that bringing Geoff Johns in that late in the game to Justice League was going to get them anywhere near Avengers Gold. They were just – I don't know what they were thinking, but, like, it wasn't – I don't think they ever thought Justice – I don't think they thought Justice League was salvageable for whatever reason. So I just – that's why they brought Whedon and let him do all these reshoots. I think fans can be mad at what they want because clearly something's been tampered with. I think they're directing their anger at the wrong people. I don't think it's the creative people. The creative people are hired to do a specific job, and a studio has told them to do something. So that therefore they're going to be out there and they're going to do it, right? Like essentially the old guys got fired. They brought in the new guys, and the new guys have to change things because they don't like the way the old guy was doing things. It's kind of how it works. So like, I don't think you should be taking on Geoff Johns or Joss Whedon because they both love these characters. I mean, I know Joss Whedon has a great track record with DC, Justice League, what it is. Batgirl never really happened. It was probably all a lie and a cover up to begin with. So it's like, let's be honest. So it's like, you know, he struck Marvel gold. He's written an alien movie. He's been around the world. He's kind of like a script doctor. And I mean, he had Buffy, so like he has success.
Yes,
so Buffy. It's not like the guy's a slouch.
But his Wonder Woman script was trash.
I'm sure. I mean, look, I mean, Francis Ford Coppola directed Godfather 3, and that wasn't a good movie. So, like, it all happens. They all write bad.
He went there.
I don't think Godfather 3 is terrible, by the way.
I mean, well, you compare it to the first two. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, but that's like saying, like, man,
the best thing. Godfather 3 was still's horrible interpretation of
But Godfather 3 is like a tasty hot dog. It's not the best, but it's still all right.
Bad hot dog.
Yes, I agree with Pete. You have cousin incest, and come on, that movie was terrible. It was so bad.
It's so bad.
Anyway, but yeah, it's a sore point for me, so let's not talk about it. Continue.
Look, they're directing their anger at the wrong people. You got to be mad at the studio. And look, you got what you wanted. AT&T has bought in Warner Brothers, and they've heard your demands, and you've actually gotten them. So just be happy, but just don't be so toxic. Like, you know, like I know I get crucified on Twitter because I'll say Zaddy, and someone will get mad, and it's like, don't say that. But Zaddy specifically is a toxic, horrible fan who spews bile out of
him. Yep.
That's what.
Amen. Amen, brother. Brother Pete.
Vader stealing BVS for some odd reason. They have to put everyone down to be horrible. It's not the general term for all Zack Snyder fans. You guys aren't horrible people. It's just are horrible. And yes, I know there's horrible fans everywhere. I know there's some idiot telling me that right now. I know who you are. And it's just, So it's like, okay, they're just horrible people. But like, there's a good part of fandom. Just don't be toxic. But look, they're listening to you. So just, you know, do it politely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. They won, right? That's what they keep telling us. They won. Yeah. So enjoy it. Enjoy this moment. You had a movement. It worked. Just be happy about it. Why you got to keep going back and rehashing old stuff? I was going to use the other word, but you told me to bleep it out. So why you keep going back to old stuff? Just be happy with what you got. Obviously, now there's other, like, we're not going to get into this now, but we've been hearing other things that may be happening. Things that may be coming also from this new AT&T relationship. So who knows?
Who knows? who knows is the safe thing to say.
Exactly. Like, who knows what's in store? And if we get more content from this, then you guys have a bunch of other reasons to rejoice for what you did. I
heard those guys on Straight Out of Gotham podcast, and they said this. And you're like,
"Oh yeah, we're gonna get branded now, probably." And Justin, you'll be along for the ride. So I'm sorry.
Bring me up. Hey, if I'm gonna go down, I'll go down with you guys, dude.
But yeah, I mean, enjoy this time. You did something that most of us didn't think were possible. All three of us did not think.
I'm enjoying it with
you. Yeah.
I cannot wait, dude. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Sign me up. I'm all for it. Well, let's go. Okay, you got it. This better be good. This better be better than the theatrical cut. Like, I'm all for it. Like, you guys want. So
here's what I'm looking forward to. The Suicide Squad. Yeah. Then Zack Snyder's Justice League. I feel like I'm going to go see Justice League again. Like, it never happened. I'm excited for that, dude. I can't wait. I can't wait for the trailer.
Different.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. If it's
dot, maybe.
Like, if they were to make a Static Shock movie, I'd be all for it right now. Like, let's go.
Oh, dude, a Static Shock movie would be, like, that's a no-brainer, man. Me and Matt, we just talked about the whole Milestone Universe stuff on our show this week.
It's such an interesting time in the movie.
Milestone is a well for some rad characters, and Warner Brothers needs to figure that out. AT&T, hit me up.
Dude, how awesome would it be if they did like a Steel movie and by the end it was like Superman coming back? If Superman was involved somehow, I don't know. Like, I would love to see Steel in the movie.
Dude, Steel. Okay, Steel. Man, we're going to be talking about Steel, available on HBO Max, FYI. Steel, dude. I was excited for Steel because, A, it came out in the 90s and like everyone's a Shaq fan. And I'm like, oh, dang it, Steel. That movie was some garbage. Oh, man. You know, I thought there was going to be some mention of Superman, and all you got was this dumb tattoo.
Yeah, it's definitely not the best DC movie out there. I will gladly watch Green Lantern any day of the week over Steel. Any day.
Oh, yeah.
Any day. Love Green Lantern.
But there was excitement for, like, is this going to tie in the death of Superman? Nah.
It's funny. The Steel movie is kind of like the Halle Berry Catwoman. It's like, it is, but it isn't.
It's just a thing. It was like WB going, we got properties. But
how do we do with them? What are we doing?
Yeah. But they were supposed to be developing a Superman film during that time. So that's when my little brain went back then. Like, I bet you this is going to tie in, you know?
God.
But yeah. Steel's basically like Iron Man, dude. Except, you know, he's like, he has the military training. He was like a soldier.
He is like Iron Man, but he's more of a fanboy with, like, you know, like he's, it's weird how, because he's inspired by Superman, you know, like Superman inspires Steel. You know, Superman is the reason because of Steel. So it's interesting to see. And it was actually really well done in Reign of the Superman that recently came out. That was fantastic. The Fall of Death of Superman, the animated movie. So that was, if you want some good Steel stuff, check that out. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Also, Steel in Justice League America by Grant Morrison. He was great. They had some good Steel stuff in there. So,
voice by Chris
Wood. Yeah. Eric's like, I don't know, man. Talking about Steel.
Eric was at the premiere. He interviewed.
I was at the premiere for Mazer. I was there.
Not for Steel.
I was there. Not for Steel.
I interviewed Chris Williams. Yes.
Shaq said, hey, Steel is a good movie. Go see Steel.
The amazing thing is I'm a big basketball fan. So when Steel came out, I mean, oh, wow, it's a Shaq movie. And I mean, I knew the character, obviously. So when I saw the movie, I was like, what the hell did I just watch?
Yo, that rubber mask, dude, hanging off his face. I'm all, dude, you look like Droopy the dog, dude. How come he doesn't look like Shaq at all? Or he doesn't look like Steel at all. Like, give him a whole helmet.
Has Shaq done a movie since then?
Yeah.
Kazam? Or I don't know.
Wasn't that Kazam before that?
I don't know, man.
Blue Chips? Blue Chips
was before that. Blue Chips was before that. I know that for sure.
Nick
Blue Chips. I mean, he screwed up a DC property and no more movies.
Dude, you know, let's blame Shaq, dude. Forget blaming Jeff Johns. Blame Shaquille O'Neal. It was his fault.
All the Superman problems didn't start with Superman Returns. They started with
released a Shaq cut. Let's see that.
Get some other stuff out here. We did some really good stuff.
Shaq cut. That's great.
Yeah. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got some more news today.
Oh, man, there's some more news.
With regards to comic books, anyway.
Oh,
so.
Nerds.
It was it was released by DC First today that they were cutting ties with Diamond Comic Distributors. Now, Diamond Comic Distributors pretty much has a monopoly on comic book distribution. So this was a little bit of a surprise. Now, obviously, with COVID-19, they had to make some choices, and they made choices not to distribute. So then DC went in other directions. And apparently they liked those directions because now they've gone with them. They've left them. So their statement says, the DC statement said, after 25 years, DC and Diamond Comic distributors are ending their longstanding relationship. Moving forward, comic book retailers can obtain their DC books from Penguin Random House or their books and periodicals through Lunar or UCS comic book distributors. DC continues to be committed to providing their direct market with best-in-class service and the fans with the world's greatest comic books. Not to be outdone, Diamond responded with a statement of their own, and this was their statement. In April, we were informed that DC was going to begin distributing products through additional partners. At that time, they asked us to submit a proposal for a revised agreement with the understanding that Diamond would continue to be one of their distributors, which we promptly did. They then requested an extension to June 30th, which we also accommodated. Last week, DC requested an additional extension through July. We responded with questions, and DC indicated they would reply today, June 5th. Instead of receiving a response, today we received a termination notice. While we had anticipated this as a possible outcome, we, like so many others in the industry, are disappointed by their decision to end our partnership so abruptly at this time. Now, since you two are much more avid comic readers than I am, I will leave the discussion to you guys.
So basically, I mean, it's just it from both these statements, this is a business decision. One company went one way and they moved on from another. So it just seems like it stinks. But it's weird. Like I actually talked to my guy at Mainstream Comics, and I was just asking.
Hey, I got a guy.
Hey, let me get the gumball gold, will you? Hey, pass it over here. Please. Hey, tell your mother I said hello, will you? Basically, it's weird because this has kind of been considered, but now because of the virus has been kind of pushed it forward and has advanced so far. But it seems that like Midtown Comics is got some interest in this, and he was telling me like as a small business, it sucks having to pay whatever it is to Midtown to ship him his book. So he's got to like pay his direct competitor. So it's weird because in Midtown, the way Midtown Comics is involved. So it's AT&T has changed a lot of things with DC lately. And it's not just with movies and HBO Max. It's also with the books, especially because now, I mean, they're leaving DC for 20 some odd years of this relationship with Diamond. And it's just interesting how like now that, you know, smaller comic book shops are going to have to like order from two different distributors. I guess that's just chaos or whatever. And the business end of it is just not fun. But it's just interesting. It's weird how like DC books are, you know, they come out on Tuesdays now, you know, but like, you know, the shop won't release it until Wednesday when they get all the other books. So it's interesting. But I don't know, Justin, what else do you have to say about it?
I just think this is all Geoff Johns' fault. Ever since he started writing comics, he's been messing with everybody. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding, guys. To me, I don't know how much it has to do with AT&T as it has been.
Since they've bought DC and Warner Bros. And everything, a lot of things have changed, and they're clearly changing the way they do operations.
No, I see that, but I don't want to say this is an AT&T decision until like that's something they've said top down. But what it sounds like is ever since the 90s, like, it wasn't always Diamond that did distribution for these comics, because they used to do distribution through a few different places. One was called, I think Capital City, and another one was Heroes World. And they would just out near you, near Jersey, dude. Jersey represent, right?
Yeah, baby.
So there was different people that were distributing all over. And then I think Marvel was exclusive to a certain to one of them. Anyways, I think what happened is Marvel was like, I think everyone rallied behind Diamond at some point, and everyone just kind of like kind of went the way of the buffalo. I think Diamond actually absorbed Capital, and anyways, it just so Diamond just became the monopoly on it. And so I think one of the things that, and I don't know everything, so I'm trying to speak based on like kind of what I've gleaned. And I understand like it's probably harder for retailers, but as a business for DC, they want their books in more spots, and Diamond doesn't go all over, but these other places are going to make it possible for them.
Yeah.
So I think what DC is trying to do is like, let's get our books in more spots and hopefully that works out for him. You know, it's, you know, COVID kind of opened the doors to kind of explore really different options. Really, and so I think they tried these other two. Was it Mile High? And what was the other one? I know it's Discount Comic Book Service. They have a website, DCBS. You can go there and order your books. But I think they actually are providing the other distribution on the other side of the country. And I think what they've seen is like, man, we're still getting our books out. It may be a better experience for DC. It just might mean for the retailers to you know, adjust. So, which, you know, that's just business.
Yeah, exactly. That, I mean, it's business, right? That's what it comes down to in the end. It's a business decision. And as you said, if they're going to go with somebody, going with Penguin Random House, which is the top distributor of everything, pretty much, a smart choice. You know, if you want to reach all corners of the market, do it with the publisher that can get you there.
Do it with the Penguin.
Yeah, right.
He's moving stuff.
Yeah, let's see what marketing materials they could do with that. Yeah, right?
Those aren't guns. It's books.
So I mean, it sucks how they did it. Like, to say you're going to have some kind of discussion and then just say no, we're leaving you and. On that day,
they kind of go back and forth for a little bit there. They asked for the extension. They talked about it, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. They gave them, sure. Yeah.
But in the end, it's like, you know, they went out, they bought a car, they went to a couple dealerships and they picked
them. Yeah, but Diamond's coming out there like an ex-girlfriend. I thought we were just going to take a break, you know, putting their little letter out there. And DC's like, yo, you know what? That time apart was good for me. And I realized, you know, good for me, Diamond. So I'm getting out. Diamond ain't a girl's best friend. All right.
It sounds like you're talking to a stripper. Not gonna lie. Sounds like you're talking to a stripper right there.
So yeah, man. I don't have a real big opinion on it. I'm just, as long as I can go get some books, hopefully the comic shops can you know, figure out how they can work, because I want the comic shops around, because that's fun. Just as much as going to the movies is fun, going to the comic shop, chatting to your guys is fun. So
yeah, like Pete was saying, now this obviously is putting a strain on them, the smaller comic shops. So
yeah,
I mean, let's see how that.
If you got to pay,
yeah, Diamond said, "Hey, we ain't shipping you books." So what are they going to do? These guys are like, "We'll ship you books."
They're forced. So yeah, that's it. I mean, they took advantage of the virus situation. They swooped in and at the 11th hour, and they were able to ship the books out, and that kind of, you know, DC was like, "All right, we can do this."
Yeah, well, but Diamond said they weren't going to ship books. That was the thing that sucked for the shops. They're like, well, you're not going to ship us books.
Diamond's the one who started it because they closed out, you know?
Yeah, so that's on Diamond, dude.
Yeah.
Put out or get out.
I don't know their financial. We don't know their financial situation, though. Like, I don't know.
It's a huge hit. I mean, you think about comic books, it's DC and Marvel. Like, okay, Boom Studios, got right. And all that stuff. It's just, you know, that's the half the market.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much had the market. So, yeah. Well, like Pete said, AT&T is changing things. So,
yeah,
obviously, yep. Obviously, it's from the top down, and they're going to comics as well. So, we will see what happens. Yeah,
there's a new regime, for better or for worse, and we just got to deal with it. You know, we're just fans, you know, but it's cool because now we can talk about it, we can analyze it.
Yeah, I ain't moving to AT&T. I'll tell you that. No good service for Justin out here. So
really, I have AT&T service.
They can all peace out on that end.
And aren't they? Don't they have their own TV service in some places too now?
They do. I've had AT&T service, and it is balls. But it might just be where I'm at.
Well, do they own Dish or DirecTV? They own one of them, right? Don't they own one of the satellite services?
I don't know.
Or am I completely blanking? Anyway. But I know they also were starting their own TV, like Verizon has Fios. They were starting their own AT&T television service. And I don't know anyone who has it. So,
I heard you can get the Snyder Cut on it right now. Yeah. If you get on AT&T's hidden service,
Storyboard Central, we go there.
All we got is director cuts. What director cut do you want? We'll put it out there for you.
Yo, that's what HBO Max is going to do. It seems like
I'm going to get the chat cut.
Right? They're going to do that. Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what happens at the end of this. And at the end of the day, we're talking about comic books and comic book characters, so it should be fun anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's actually, I think Chris Clow had the best idea, is put a little icon on there that says director cuts. Like, it makes sense for a giant for a movie studio to say, hey, one of our exclusives, we got director cuts over here. Check them out.
Yeah.
You hear me now? Right
there. Seven different versions of Blade Runner.
Right. So, but I also think HBO Now is a dumb name. Like, just call it WB Max. Sorry, Max. WB HBO Max. Because, like, that's the one thing I would say as a parent. Like, are they gonna have kid stuff on HBO Max?
They HBO do. Max, I went 30. Over it last week. I went over the last week. HBO
Max. No, I know. My kids were watching Looney Tunes on there and stuff. I set up their account, but it's like, yeah, it just, I don't know. Branding wise, I'm like, everyone knows that WB shield. I would say more than HBO, you know, but that's a whole other discussion.
I don't know about that anymore. HBO has been, when it comes to original content, HBO has been cornering that market for years.
I think that's really what they were thinking. But I'm just thinking about eyeballs on screens. Like, there's no HBO movies, you know. When you go to the theater, it's WB. Like, you see that, like, Bugs Bunny's going to pop out and eat a carrot, and then you're going to watch a movie.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That you can't watch a Warner Brothers movie without a Warner Brothers ball cap. Now they're going to edit all that, and it's going to say without an HBO ball cap. Sorry. I feel like I'm talking over Pete. I'm sorry, dude. I'm like,
Could be.
I just did a Porky Pig impression.
Oh.
Do it again. We want to hear it. Do it again.
Do it again. I want to hear it.
Yeah. That's all, folks.
Well, what a way to end. That is a perfect way to bring this show to a close.
All right.
So, Justin, thanks again for coming on. This was fun. Man.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
Hopefully, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to plug?
Always, yo. Always. I would love if you would go listen to Let's Go Podcast and Let's Go Comic Show. Talk about comics every week, and it's fun. And I do it with my buddy, Matt. And then also Let's Go Podcast, where we talk about pop culture, but it's been a little, you know, real, doesn't come out as much. Comes out less than Straddle Gotham. But yeah, if you want, just go to letsgopodcast.com, check it out. That's where all my stuff's at. So thank you. And follow me on Twitter, J_Rocca.
All right. Any Instagram? You want to plug Instagram or no?
You can. It's just a picture of me standing next to my mom. So it's not a lot of interesting stuff going on there. Hey, it's my kids. So
hey, it's my kids.
I made waffles. That's about it.
I saw that one. Those looked delicious, by the way.
Oh, I'll make them myself.
All right, Pete.
You could read my reviews of Detective Comics on Batman on Film. I have last Wednesday's review out. I think it's 10/22. You could follow me on all social media platforms. That is Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, Zack Snyder's favorite, Vero, at Pete Illustrated. You can follow our show, Twitter, and Instagram, same handle, at, I lost the page here. I had it. At @straight_O_G. That is it. And, I post stuff and Eric likes to call me out on Twitter for something.
No, because we both share the Twitter account. So Pete will post things and I'll start getting notifications. I'm like, what the hell is this about? And then I'm like, oh, okay, Pete posted a poll or, you know, it's fun stuff. But I'm always just like, why am I getting more notifications? And then I see Pete posted something. So as for me, you can find me on Twitter at finally33. That's spelled finale33. You also obviously can find me here. You can hit me up also on the Twitter, the Straight Outta Gotham handle on Twitter. I am also on Instagram, same at finally33. I was on a Batman on Film podcast recently, number 168. So if you want to hear my opinions, we discussed that time the money situation regarding Justice League, the Snyder Cut of Justice League. So if you want to check me out, you can check me out there. Please hit me up, guys. Discuss anything you want. I'm always open for conversation. So for Justin Kowalski and Peter Vera, I am Eric Holzman. Thank you for listening to Straight Outta Gotham. Have a good night.